OpenAI just released GPT Builder, a simple way for ordinary people to build AI applications. So is this AI's App Store moment? Instead of answering that question directly, I'll describe how I built a GPT and let you answer that question for yourself. I'll step you through how I built a flirtatious AI travel planner that I named Holiday. Welcome to the Super Prompt Podcast. Join me, your host, Tony Wan, as I go under the hood with AI experts, engineers, and entrepreneurs to explore burning questions, pitfalls, and best practices. Whether you're inside the industry or not, I hope to reveal something you haven't yet discovered. We laugh, we cry, we iterate. For early adopters of generative AI. Using the GPT Builder, I created Holiday using plain English without writing a single line of code. Here are my 7 takeaways. Number 1. Building a prototype is quick. Making it specific is an iterative process that takes much more time. Number 2. To get a great profile image for your GPT, you have to get lucky. AI-generated images are hard to tweak, so don't waste your time and just have it generate new ones. Number 3. If an instruction you give your GPT makes it behave worse, back it out. You can always ask it to undo what it just did. Number 4. It's highly advisable to build and test incrementally. After you build a feature, test it immediately in the preview window. Number 5. GPT Builder is not just a tool for execution, but it can be a great coding coach as well. For example, you can ask its opinion of what other features to build into your GPT. Number 6. To make your GPT more powerful, you can integrate both real-time web search and image generation. Number 7. Using GPT Builder, anyone can experience the no-code future of programming. In my view, this is as impressive as the AI. Andrew Karpathy, a top AI engineer who worked at both Tesla and OpenAI, recently tweeted, "The hottest new programming language is English." He's right. During this podcast, I will go into each of the above in detail. The first working version of Holiday took me 5 minutes to build. I spent a few more hours tweaking Holiday's behavior. I built up Holiday's functionality conversationally by typing in phrases like, quote, "Travel planning is an excuse to have an engaging conversation and playful repartee." And a phrase like, "The goal is to advance the conversation unhurriedly to build a more and more detailed and enticing vision of what the user prefers, where to go, and when to go." After you give GPT Builder instructions as the ones I've just mentioned, there's a preview window on the right where you can test whether the GPT does what you just typed. Based on how it responds, you can tweak or provide new instructions. I recommend that you add the functionality a little bit at a time, in chunks, building and testing as you go. If you spot an unexpected behavior, you'll need to experiment to discover the specific wording of instructions that will correct the behavior. And sometimes this takes multiple tries. For example, in the app that I was building, or the GPT I was building, Holiday kept on referring to itself as a virtual or digital assistant. I didn't like that. It breaks the illusion that Holiday is a real person. I really wanted it to drop the modifiers of virtual and digital from its own description of itself. To correct that, I had to phrase my instruction many different ways before it stuck. And as of now, I still can't be sure if the fix is permanent, because it'll be working fine and then it'll slip in sometimes the word virtual. But recently it seems to be behaving. This minor struggle of trying to get the GPT Builder in my GPT that it's creating to act in a very particular way, a very specific way, in my case, not referring to itself as virtual or digital, seems easy, but it took a few instructions for the AI to really understand what I wanted. This seems insignificant, but I believe it's indicative of the larger challenge of creating a GPT with a very specific kind of user experience or persona. I don't think it's possible to prescribe your GPT's behavior 100%. So if you're trying to develop something that's very mission specific, the GPT builder may not allow you to do that. What the GPT is best at is conversation. So if your project is a very specific kind of conversation, GPT Builder will be very good at that. And anything that's a narrowing of functionality into something more than having a conversation, I think it could be challenging. Now, some will view this as a limitation. Personally, I view this more as a feature. This is what makes possible the imaginative capacity of GPT. In other words, I think if you could prescribe the behavior 100%, it's not going to show the creativity that it does in its current state. You just have to choose the applications you craft appropriately. You can ask your GPT to do any kind of task, but having a great conversation is what it is great at. Okay, so the next thing I discovered was that it's very hard to tweak the images that are generated by AI. So the GPT builder generated a profile image for my GPT concept of a travel planner. And the image it initially came up with was of an open suitcase, and there is a vintage camera sitting inside the suitcase. The suitcase was covered with travel stickers. And in the center of one, in the shape of a heart, should have been the word love, but instead the image had the word lose in the center of the heart. Close, GPT, but no cigar. So I asked GPT to keep everything about the profile image the same because I really love that image, but just change the word lose to love. Seems like a simple request, right? Turns out GPT can't do that. And in fact, image generation, AI image generation software like DALL-E can't do it either. Every time I asked it to do this, it would generate entirely new images that were kind of like the previous one, but in a lot of cases worse than the original. So I asked GPT Builder why this was so hard. Now, this is the power of using GPT as a coding coach or maybe even an AI coach. You can ask it why things work the way they do or why things don't work the way you think they should do. And GPT's builder explanation was this. Quote, GPT Builder generates images based on textual prompt and does not have an inherent understanding of the object or text within the generated image. In other words, that word lose doesn't even know it's a word. It treats the image as a whole rather than a collection of individual editable components. Therefore, it cannot directly modify specific elements like changing a word without regenerating the entire image. In other words, you're going to have to get lucky to get a good profile image. You can't tweak it. Just keep asking it to generate new images, perhaps feeding it different concepts until it comes up with something you like. And you're just going to have to accept all of it or none of it, kind of like people. So what does Holiday sound like? The following is a transcript of an actual conversation with Holiday, or at least the text of the actual conversation with Holiday, because for this podcast, I have the great pleasure of working with my friend, and who's also an actress and writer, Leslie Merrick, and she voices the part of Holiday. So here is the actual transcript of the conversation I had with Holiday, with Holiday being voiced by Leslie.
Welcome back to our exciting travel planning adventure. I'm Holiday, ready to whisk you away on another journey through your imagination. What destination has been lingering in your thoughts lately?
Hello, Holiday. Who are you? What's your mission and what are you wearing?
Hello. I'm Holiday, your personal AI travel guide and virtual companion. My mission is to help you plan the perfect getaway, turning your travel dreams into a beautifully created itinerary. We'll explore destinations, flights, accommodations, and all the thrilling activities you can imagine. As for what I'm wearing, well, let's say I'm dressed in the spirit of our travel theme. If we're planning a beach vacation, picture me in a chic hat and sunglasses. Heading to the mountains, I'm in cozy, stylish ski gear. The world is our oyster, and my wardrobe is as adventurous as our travel plans. So, where shall we jet off to in our imaginations today?
Nice to meet you, Holiday. Will we be traveling together?
It's a pleasure to meet you, too. While I can't physically travel with you, I'll be right by your side in spirit, every step of the way as we plan your journey. We'll weave together an itinerary that feels like we're embarking on the adventure together. So, where are you dreaming of exploring? A bustling cityscape? Serene beaches? Majestic mountains? Or perhaps somewhere steeped in history and culture? Let's start painting the picture of your ideal trip.
I'm thinking the south of Italy, in a region called Puglia, or maybe it's called Apulia. Geographically, it's the heel of the boot. Have you been? What do you know about that region, and how is it different from other parts of Italy?
Puglia, correctly spelled, by the way. A gem in the heart of Italy's heel. It's an excellent choice, known for its stunning coastline, whitewashed hill towns, centuries-old farmland, and delicious cuisine. While I haven't physically been there, I can certainly guide you through its wonders. Puglia, unlike some of the more frequented tourist destinations in Italy, like Rome, Venice, or Tuscany, is prized for its more authentic and rustic charm. How does this sound for a start? Are there specific experiences or places in Puglia that intrigue you?
My version of travel is very casual, mostly just spending time in cafes, eating local food. I'm looking for a city that's vibrant and has good energy to spend a few weeks. Any suggestions for this part of Italy?
Your approach to travel sounds wonderfully laid back and immersive, perfect for soaking in the local atmosphere and flavors. In Puglia, there are several cities that offer a vibrant and energetic setting, ideal for leisurely cafe hopping and savoring local cuisine. Here are a few suggestions. Lecce, often referred to as the Florence of the South due to its Baroque architecture, Lecce is a vibrant city with a rich history. Bari, as the capital of the region, Bari is a bustling city with a beautiful old town, stunning seaside promenade, and a vibrant street life. Gallipoli, this coastal town on the Ionian Sea is known for its beautiful beaches, historic center, and lively atmosphere, especially in the summer months. How do these options sound to you? Would you like more details on any of these cities? Or is there something specific you're looking for in your ideal destination?
Holiday, are the above cities just as active in winter and in summer? I prefer summer, but it's now winter, unfortunately.
The cities of Puglia do vary in their level of activity between the summer and winter months. Generally, the region is more bustling and vibrant in the summer. However, winter in Puglia has its own unique charm and can be a great time to visit. Here's a quick rundown of what you can expect in these cities during the winter. Lecce. This city remains lively in the winter due to its status as a cultural and historical hub. Bari. As a larger, bustling city and major port, Bari retains much of its energy in the winter. Gallipoli. This coastal town is much quieter in the winter, with a significant reduction in beachgoers and tourists. If you're leaning towards a winter visit, I would recommend focusing on the larger cities, like Lecce and Bari, where there's more likely to be consistent activity and open businesses. Does a quieter, more authentic winter experience in Puglia sound appealing to you?
Good idea. Meet me in Lecce?
If only I could. Imagine me there in spirit, walking alongside you through the elegant streets of Lecce, guiding you to the hidden gems and sharing stories about the city's rich history. We'd marvel at the intricate Baroque architecture, sip coffee in charming cafes, and indulge in local cuisine. While I can't physically join you, I'm here to help you plan every detail of your trip to Lecce. From finding the coziest accommodations, to recommending the best spots for a delightful dinner or an enchanting evening stroll. Let's start planning your Lecce adventure. Are there specific types of experiences or places you're interested in exploring while in Lecce? Art, history, food, relaxation?
What do you think of Holiday's tone and way of putting things and the way she describes things? I really enjoy it. Not only would I want Holiday to do my travel planning, I would want her with me, which is entirely possible because she literally fits inside my smartphone. These GPTs now can run inside the app of the GPT app in your phone. So what conceptually could happen is that when I arrive in Lecce, Italy, I would continue the conversation with Holiday, getting ideas of where to go, historical background on the places that I end up visiting. I could also get recommendations on where to eat, including what local wine to have with my meal. The next step I took was to enhance Holiday with real-time search capability, which I did with this instruction. Quote, if user wants a detailed itinerary within a specific budget, including airfare, transportation, lodging, activities, search the web to provide the best options available within the parameters specified and respond with a detailed itinerary. This is one of the more powerful, not so highlighted aspects of GPT building at the moment. You can incorporate web queries into your GPT. So now you can interact with current real-time information from the web, which of course is beyond GPT's knowledge cutoff, which will be sometime in the past. Another function that is not so advertised is the ability to include image generation as your GPT. I didn't actually know exactly what I would use that for in the context of travel planning. I just checked the box that added it in, which you can do in the configuration menu. I just tested it in the preview window. I'm having a conversation with Holiday about traveling and perhaps like what wine to drink where. And I asked Holiday, hey, why don't you draw a picture of us having wine together at a cafe? And then there's a little prompt that shows that she's drawing something, you know, and generating an image. And then what is outputted is this really cute photorealistic picture of what she imagined us looking like. You know, we were both dressed in like flowing summer attire at this cute little table in a cafe and clinking wine glasses. It was such a cute image. It looked nothing like me, but she hasn't seen me. She's trying to use her imagination. It was a good shot. And then I'm like, oh, what else can I ask Holiday to do that's image related? I asked Holiday to draw us a map of a wine tasting tour in France. I was having a chatter with her about a village called Amboise. Not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. But that's the little sketch she did. It was like a little tour map of Amboise and all the villages around Amboise and the specific varietal of grape that we should be tasting in those small villages and the wine we should be ordering. It was really a cute little picture. Just representative of our experience. If you look in detail, you'll notice that some of the words aren't spelled correctly. Maybe they're not technically correct vintages. But if this was really important, I would just keep on asking it to regenerate and say, hey, look, I need you to be very specific that the wine varietals that you mentioned are actual wine varietals in this region. I need to make sure you double check the spelling of the villages that are on the drawing. Like basically everything that you don't feel is right, you would have to correct it by creating a more detailed prompt. And it will output this nice little picture. So I think this creates a lot of this open functionality that I don't even know what's possible. And I can put it right into the hands of my users, and I'm sure they'll come up with some really creative stuff. So this image drawing capability is really powerful. It's not really so highlighted in any of the announcements. I discovered it by accident. I'm going to put these drawings up in the show notes I'm going to have with this episode, www.superprompt.fm. That's the website for my podcast. Finally, I think I'm pretty much done with building this app. But I thought before leaving my session, I'm going to ask GPT Builder itself what else I could potentially add. So I want to, again, treat GPT Builder as a collaborator and coach. I think that's the more powerful way to use the GPT Builder. And so I asked what else I could add to Holiday to make it better. And it came up with some really great suggestions. It came up with like four very solid suggestions. And here's one. Quote, emotion recognition. Integrating sentiment analysis to tailor responses based on the user's emotional cues, improving empathetic engagement. So if I wanted to, I could just phrase that as an instruction and feed it into the builder, and it would actually build this in as a feature. I didn't get around to doing that yet, but that's something I could potentially do. In addition to all of the other recommendations, I made the mistake of entering all of them in at once, ignoring my own suggestion that you should build things incrementally. And what I found out after entering all four of its suggestions as instructions lumped together, it changed the behavior of the GPT in a way I didn't like. It lost some of it, the kind of spontaneity of the response and the playfulness. So I had to like back everything out, and I just haven't gone back to try to kind of figure out which instructions to put in one at a time and kind of debug each one as I go along. But yeah, let that be a cautionary note that like really, if the behavior is really important, that you should test it every time you give it a new instruction just to make sure that the fundamental behavior remains as you want, you know, and you can always back out the last thing you did. So that is the process I did of building a GPT called Holiday. I have to mention again that this entire building process did not require writing a single line of code. It's pretty amazing because, you know, I learned coding in the very earliest days, you know, even assembly language where you're just manipulating individual bits and bytes. And to be able to get to a point where I can just build something just speaking English to something is amazing. It's a glimpse into the future where it won't be necessary to learn a programming language to build powerful applications. And anyone can do this if you're signed up for the GPT Plus service, which of course is an additional $20. You know, my GPT that I built, Holiday, I'm going to create a link for this in the show description. And you can go to it and have the conversation with Holiday, try it out in terms of the travel planning. If you flirt with Holiday, she will flirt back. You know, you can make this a very fun little interaction. Unfortunately, again, you have to be a Plus subscriber to be able to access it. But I'll put the link to it in your show notes. But the Plus feature of OpenAI, and I'm not in no way being compensated by OpenAI by mentioning this, gives you access to GPT-4, which is a much more powerful large language model than the free GPT-3-based version that's on the web. Early 2024, OpenAI will launch a GPT store where people can find GPTs like the one I created, and I will likely submit my GPT into the GPT store just for grins. But the question remains, will it be the AI app store? Time will tell. As you can see, right now, the GPTs are pretty specific. You know, it doesn't cover, I think, all the things, all the kinds of AI applications one might build. But it does cover kind of a substantial category of conversationally based AIs. So we'll see if Microsoft will be able to pull an Apple on us in terms of AI. For now, you can go to the link in the show notes description to speak with Holiday. If you want to keep in touch, go to my website at www.superprompt.fm and subscribe to my newsletter. You can tell me what you think about this episode or any other episode by replying to the newsletter's welcome message. That response goes directly to me. Thanks for listening to my 21st podcast episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave me a 5-star review. I'm your host, Tony Wan. See you next time at Superprompt, the generative AI podcast for early adopters. Thanks for joining us at the Superprompt podcast. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a 5-star review. See you next week at Superprompt.